Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of NFL to get to, though, in this hour. Later on this hour, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle will join me, and we'll talk some upcoming NFL draft. We'll get pretty specific in this next segment with the upcoming NFL draft, and I'm pleased to be joined right now by a friend of mine, a friend of the show, a quarterback in the NFL for over a decade. Dan Orlovsky joining me on CBS Sports Radio here on a Sunday evening. Dan, how you doing tonight, man?
What's going on, Sean? I'm good, bud. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we're 5 days away from lives being changed in the first round of the NFL draft, and I know you've been grinding on the film of some of these guys. And I want to start with Josh Allen, because that's what got my attention, was your opinion on him. And I think it's especially poignant just because the smoke seems to be blowing in his direction right now when it comes to who the Browns might use with the number one overall pick. I guess just your thoughts and maybe even more so your concerns on Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why people, especially NFL people, can get fall in love with or get enamored with him. He's big, he's athletic, he can throw the ball really far. So it's like a candy bar when you're checking out at the grocery store. Man, that looks really good. You know, it looks really good, even though you know it's bad for you. So he can get people to fall in love with them. I just know this. If you look at the top 10 quarterbacks or so over the last 3 or 4 years in the NFL, so a pretty big body of work, there's maybe one guy in that group that you're going to go, wow, he physically is just so impressive. Everyone else, Breeze and Brady and Russell Wilson, Rodgers, Matt Ryan, I mean, these guys are mental technicians. They play the game from the neck up, and we're in the golden era of that doing that at the quarterback position. I mean, Brady's winning MVP because of his mind. Nick Foles, MVP of the Super Bowl because of his mind. Breeze and Kirk Cousins are the top free agents in the NFL at that position because of their minds. And when I watch tape with Josh Allen, the mind doesn't match up with what you look at on his body. He continues to show me on tape that he struggles to have a plan at the line of scrimmage for what the defense is going to do and have an answer for the problems, processing information. And so that is a huge concern for me, because that doesn't just happen overnight and you fix it in the NFL. The defenses are way more disguised and way more detailed and intricate, and they throw way more at you. And so I think people just kid themselves. You think someone's just going to fix that, and when they showed it on tape, you can't just fix that.
Yeah, well, and especially, I always laugh when I hear about these guys. Well, he's got this big, strong arm, and if you watch NFL football or any level of football, the amount of times you get to show off a big, strong arm in games where it matters is just so minimal compared to, like you said, Dan, having to use your head in the pocket before the play starts at the line of scrimmage. I'm just curious, as you evaluate guys, what is sort of your pecking order for traits that you look for? If you were kind of weighing the traits, what obviously acumen is near the top just from your answer to the previous question, but what are some of the other things that you would check off as big green check marks on guys?
Yeah, I think the first thing, especially if you're taking a guy early, he's got to be really accurate. I mean, that I have to have a guy, if I'm taking a guy that early, he's got to have traits that I can't teach him. He's got to have things that coaches can't teach him, and accuracy is one of those things. He's got to do things that I can't teach him. So accuracy, creativity, you know, the ability to make plays when they're not there. We've seen so many guys, Rodgers and Tony Romo and Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, these guys create, you know, incredible careers because of that talent. You've got to be able to play with really good rhythm. I mean, the most accurate guys in the NFL have really, really good rhythm. When they drop back, when they throw, if they break the pocket to throw it, it's always a rhythm to that. And so that's the things that I look at the most, other than, like you said, your mind and having a plan and if you're tough and leadership. I mean, that stuff goes without saying. But the physical things, you've got to play with really good rhythm. You've got to be incredibly accurate. I mean, if I can't if I have to put on your college tape and you're missing guys left and right, or the ball is in the wrong place left and right, why would I think it's going to change in the NFL? Why would I think that's drastically going to change in the NFL? So those are the things for me that stand out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Dan, are you buying Sam Darnold as someone being worth the number one overall pick in this draft?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, for me, Sam Darnold is the guy that came onto the scene 2 years ago and everyone was like, whoa, there's something different about that guy watching him play. And he's got those traits that I talked about, things that you just can't coach. He does three things that there's not quarterback coaches in the NFL that they can give you. One, he's got this thing that I called magical sloppiness. Like, everything he does is a little sloppy. He's very Romo Roethlisberger-esque. You can't coach that. Now, sometimes it leads to bad stuff, no doubt, but a lot of times it leads to magic that you just can't – there's no drill for it. He's very Phil Mickelson-ish. You know, when Phil stands over a ball with a wedge in his hands, everyone just expects crazy stuff to happen, and it's phenomenal television. The second thing, he's got this really good ability to judge the angles and speeds of how his guys run their routes. And that matters in the NFL because windows happen faster. They shrink real quick. Defenses, these guys, defenders, close on stuff. So you have to be able to anticipate. There's no drills to get guys. I mean, if you think about Sean Howell, quickly the time is when your eyes say, oh, that guy's open, and then the ball gets out of your hand, it's the blink. And that is a trait that you're born with, and it's developed over playing. And then the third thing, which is probably my favorite thing about him because it's almost a jealous thing, is he's really accurate with bad feet. You know, I was the type of guy as a backup where if my feet were perfect, I was pretty accurate, like a lot of guys are in the NFL. To be accurate with bad feet is special because NFL pockets shrink. They close in on you real fast. And if you can continue to be accurate, I can always get you to have better feet. We can always drill more efficient feet in the pocket. And so I think the guy's going to have transcendent impact I think he's going to be really, really, really good in the NFL.
What about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I like Baker. I do. It's hard for me to sit here and listen to somebody tell me why not to like him. I'll say this. Oklahoma manufactured a lot of offense for him. I mean, he had a lot of plays that you don't see that are commonplace in the NFL. We don't see them a lot, and Oklahoma ran a lot of them, whether they're, you know, these quick ball fakes with horizontal stretch in the backfield and pop passes to guys. I mean, guys are wide open. So you'd have to ask yourself, can we incorporate some of that stuff in an NFL offense for him? Because he has to play in space. The one thing I do love about him is he's the best deep ball thrower in this draft. And that's huge because, you know, you only get three or four shots a game to push the ball downfield like we talked about, like you had mentioned before, Sean. And the difference between winning and losing in the NFL when it comes to those plays is the losing team goes, oh, we're just so close. We're just so close to hitting them. And the winning team hits them. And they're just huge impact plays. So I love that about him. I'd have to find out about this. Other than can he mature, I'd have to find this out. Breeze and Russell Wilson have erased the height deficiency because they've become obsessed with their craft. They've become obsessed with it. I need to find out if Baker Mayfield has that obsession with his craft, because then if he does, he'll erase the height deficiency, because that is a real thing.
Yeah, how do you find that out? You know, it's funny you bring that up, Dan, because we think a guy like Johnny Manziel snowed everybody back in 2014 into thinking he was, I love the game, I love to prepare, blah, blah, blah. Now he himself admits that he wouldn't have drafted himself. You know, and even guys like, I don't know if you saw the Jake Locker story in Monday Morning Quarterback this past weekend about why he walked away from the game. Totally different type of thing, but he walked away from the game just because he loved playing football, but he didn't love being an NFL player. How do you sniff out those types of things if you're an NFL team, those kind of psychological mental layers almost?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of test that they do to give them, reveal some kind of information. Now, I would lean towards thinking that he is what I said, the obsessed trait, because, I mean, here's the guy that walked on to Texas Tech, then walked on to Oklahoma, then won the Heisman, then took them to the national title game. So, I mean, there's traits that you go, all right, well, this guy seems to, have a lot of the things. I'd have to do a lot of homework about his study habits. Hey, does he have an iPad? I want to see when he was logged in. Is he one of those guys that was studying at 5 in the morning and 11:30 at night? I mean, those are the things. When does he work out? Are there any stories of him working out on his own, at crazy hours? I mean, those obsessive traits that, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson is renowned for saying the separations and the preparations. So I've got to find out if he has that. So a lot of dirty work. You know, it's not the combine meeting that's going to reveal that. It's a lot of dirty work to figure out who he's been for the last 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, it's that long for me.
Yeah, Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Dan, if you could buy stock in a current NFL quarterback from the last, say, 2 or 3 draft classes, going back to, say, 2015 when it was Winston and Mariota, who would it be?
Wow, that might be my favorite question of the year right now. I'll say Carson Wentz. You know, I thought he was pretty good coming out. He obviously had an incredible, you know, first 10 or 11 games last year. Two things that are going to make me say him more than anybody else. One, his head coach. I mean, his head coach is absolutely spectacular. Doug Peterson can call plays with anybody in the NFL. That's a huge advantage. Two, there was that video that went viral of him having an interaction with DeFilippo, who was their quarterback coach from last year, at his combine meeting. And they were talking about a play, and DeFilippo was like, "Carson, just talk me through this play." And what I heard was Matthew Stafford talking and Matt Schaub talking and Peyton Manning talking. That the way he described his thought process, why he went to where he went with the football, what made him go there, why he didn't do something, was made me think of all the really, really good quarterbacks that I've been around. So I'll say Wentz because of that.
Guys who, in doing it in year two, and you're describing guys that, you know, you were around well into their careers where they were, you know, kind of unconsciously competent at what they were doing, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, the NFL game right now is so much a mental game because coaches are smarter. Defensive and offensive coordinators are smarter. Defenses are doing more with their plans. Everything is more specific. Analytics is playing its part. They're disguising more. There's more detail to what they're doing. Offenses are asking quarterbacks to do more at the line of scrimmage, gather more information, process it all. And I try to get people to understand this. There's offensively about 70 plays a game. You've got to do so much thinking, and you have like a 15-second clip. And then you've got to go execute. Mind you, execution is done at as hard of a physical test as you can. Someone's trying to kill you, and then you've got to go do it perfectly 70 times. And so that's, I mean, your brain has got to be so good. That's why, like, the physical is only so much. It really is. It'll get you good. It will, but it's not going to get you franchise changing.
Well, okay, so I have to ask you about this before I let you go. We got a minute or two here. Lamar Jackson, I think, is the most polarizing of these top quarterbacks that people are looking at. What is Dan Orlovsky's take on Lamar Jackson and where he should go in this draft coming up next week?
Yeah, I like him. I do. I think he could flat out throw it. He goes through progressions. That's ignorant if you think he doesn't. Here's the thing with me. If you take Lamar Jackson and make him your guy, two things have to change. One, by far, his greatest strength is running around. By far. It's not Deshaun Watson from last year. Deshaun Watson could flat out throw, and his athleticism took him to the next level. Lamar Jackson can flat out be an athlete, and his throwing ability takes him to the next level. Now, if you're going to ask him to be your guy, you can't ask him to go to the NFL and not run around like he does in college football. That's like telling Allen Iverson, hey, you can go to the NBA, but you can't use your crossover. You'll never take away his greatest strength. It wouldn't be good coaching. So you've got a one bank on he's going to get hurt if he runs around like that. That is a given. So your backup can't just be like a guy like me that you could just get by with. Your backup needs to go be really good, the 33rd best quarterback in the NFL, and he needs to be the same type of player. Because your offense is going to have to be totally custom fit to be around Lamar Jackson. And then the second thing is he's going to change everything you do as an organization. Because your offense has got to fit him. You're not going to have an inline blocking tight end. You'll never be in that kind of formation to utilize that. You're going to have smaller guys, receivers will be smaller in space guys because you'll be more in the spread. So it's just a lot to go. I want to be all in with someone like that, in my opinion.
Wow, great stuff. Dan Orlovsky, you can get him on Twitter at DanOrlovsky7. Give him a follow this week, especially leading up to the draft. Dan, are you you posting stuff or putting stuff out on the internet for any outlets right now? That was really good stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm just doing my Twitter a bunch right now, and I'm kind of doing it on my own. I've posted a bunch of videos on all the quarterbacks except Josh Rosen. I've got a bunch coming this week for Josh Rosen. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm having a blast doing it, man. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, no, you're doing a great job, man. At Dan Orlovsky 7, give him a follow on Twitter, especially this week. Hey, man, I appreciate you making time. I know you got all those kids you got to attend to there, so appreciate
always,
you.
Man. Thank you for having me on.
You got it, Dan. Appreciate you joining me. Dan Orlovsky joining me here on CBS Sports Radio. Has triplets, by the way. Young triplets.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.